This is Road to Calvary with Pastor Dave Cook of Calvary Baptist Church. On today's edition.
No one wants the hard way. The picture here of this hard way is like a narrow and difficult path between two cliffs. It's a restrictive walk, a restrictive path that's not just restrictive as you go in, but the entire way. It isn't like you can squeeze through the gate and then the road opens up and it becomes this nice, wide, inclusive path.
In Zion National Park, there's a popular attraction called the Narrows. There are canyon walls on both sides of a river, but you can actually traverse through the river if you're willing to get wet and take on the challenge of rocky terrain. In today's teaching, Pastor Dave's message is that following Jesus is no easy road. Taking that narrow path may be difficult. It may have areas that you're not sure you'll make it through, but following Jesus wasn't meant to be easy. It was meant to be rewarding. Now, here's Pastor Dave in the book of Matthew chapter 7 as he begins his message, Which Way to Heaven?
When I'm driving on a long trip, if I'm the one driving anyway, and my wife is the same way, I always like to have the GPS on. Even if I kind of know where I'm going, I like to have the GPS on because when you have the GPS, you know, you kind of use the Google Maps app on the phone. When you use that, one of the things it does is it actually kind of searches out the different possible ways you can get to your destination and figures out how it does it, who knows, but figures out where the fastest route may be. Maybe there's more traffic in one particular way, so they'll reroute you to a different direction so you're able to make the trip quicker. And so this is what we were doing as we're heading up in the church van to this event up in Albany. And someone who was in the car, who was in the van with me, commented as he was kind of looking at the different roads we were taking and said, boy, this is a way that I've never gone. I've never taken this way to get up to Albany. And I commented, hey, I'm just following the GPS, right? I'm just following where it's taken me. And as I said, one of the benefits is that it steers you around to what is going to be the quickest, fastest, and easiest way. And actually, on the way home, using the same GPS, it took us in a totally different direction. Again, it analyzed the traffic patterns and picked the best way or the quickest way that we could get home. Now, just as this GPS gave me directions for how to get from Riverhead to Albany and then from Albany back to Riverhead, Jesus, in our text that we're going to be looking at, gives us directions for how to get to heaven. There's a significant difference, however, because we see, as I just mentioned, the GPS, the design of the GPS is to direct us to the easiest possible route, where it seems, as we look at this text, that Jesus steers us on a more difficult path. And there's another, even more significant difference as well, and that is that the easier road doesn't lead to the same destination. All of us, whether we consider ourselves to be religious or not, we're all on a spiritual journey. And many people think that there are many different ways, many different roads, many different paths that we can travel. And it does seem that way at times. But Jesus tells us there are actually only two options. The question that we're going to be looking at is, are you on the right path? Are you headed in the right direction? So please turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. And we're continuing our series through the Sermon on the Mount, this message from Jesus to his followers that we see in Matthew 5 through Matthew 7. In our text, we come to really what's essentially the beginning of the end of this sermon. After all this instruction that Jesus has been giving from the beginning of chapter 5 all the way to our verses today, he's now bringing us, after all of this instruction, he's bringing us to a point of decision. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, okay, I've given you all this instruction. I've laid this all out for you. Now, what are you going to do with it? Where are you going to go from here? And we mentioned last week as we looked at the golden rule, we looked at the fact that Jesus didn't give us the golden rule so that we would comment on it or discuss it amongst ourselves, or at least not that alone, but that we would actually live it out. And that is really not just true of the golden rule, that's true of all of Jesus' teaching. There's no point in listening to the Sermon on the Mount if you're not going to do anything with it, if it's not going to influence the way you live. In James chapter 1, we're told to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. So as we hear what Jesus has to say to us, let's hear with the understanding that we need to act on what he says. When we hear what he says, we now need to respond. So we're going to read together Matthew chapter 7, just two verses, verses 13 and 14. Again, starting in verse 13, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Lord, as we consider this very simple text in so many ways, but yet so profound and so challenging in so many ways as well, Lord, I just pray that you would speak through your word, that you would convict hearts, that you would draw us closer to yourself. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So although as we look across the scope of our world, we know there are many different belief systems, there's many different religions, many different worldviews, however you want to look at it, even though there are all of these different ways, quote unquote, it's important to know that really, when it all boils down, according to Jesus, there are two gates, and there are only two gates. Jesus talks here about a wide gate, and he talks about a narrow gate. So let's consider for a moment this wide gate. Now, having a wide gate sounds good. It sounds very helpful to have a wide gate. It makes things convenient. People can fit through it without any real problem. Now, how many people here have ever had a time when you have to get a big couch into a very narrow doorway? Anyone? Yeah. We've had to do that, right? And how, you know, it's, you get, you know, people on each side, maybe you have an extra person and you have to, you're like, all right, twist it this way. No, turn it back this way. No, lay it down. Flip it up. No, can't do that. And you come around this way. No, we're hitting the side. And it's just difficult. Let's just leave it at difficult. It's very, very difficult. It is not a ton of fun, I can tell you from experience. You have to keep repositioning yourself, and then maybe you have to actually even take the hinges off the door and pull the whole door off because you just can't get it through. But if you have a nice wide doorway, right, you have maybe double doors that you can open all the way, man, getting through that wide gate, that wide doorway is a breeze. So much easier. You can go through without any real sacrifice. You can bring all your baggage through with you. You can bring along your materialism. You can hold on to your prejudice and your hatred if you're going through the wide gate. You don't have to leave that unforgiving spirit behind. It's like a hotel that takes pets. You could just go right in. Wide open. The idea is that there's no restrictions on who gets to go through this gate. You don't have to make any difficult choices. Your personal views make absolutely no difference. So because of those perceived, at least, advantages, this gate is chosen by most people. This is the, if you will, the default GPS position, direction of the human heart. And it's attractive because it opens up through this wide gate, it opens up into the path of least resistance. And who doesn't like the path of least resistance? And we're going to look at that in a few moments. So the majority head through this wide gate. But there is another option. There's another gate that you can choose. And Jesus says at the very beginning of verse 13, enter. He gives us essentially a command. Enter through the narrow gate. That wide gate may look appealing, but no, don't choose that one. I want you to go through the narrow gate. Or if you have the King James Version, it says enter through the straight gate, S-T-R-A-I-T. It means the same thing. This is a narrow and restrictive gate, like trying to get that couch through the really narrow doorway. So if you're going to try to squeeze through a really narrow gate, you probably are going to have to leave some things behind. First of all, it's important to know that this gate only lets in one person at a time. You can't ride in on the coattails of someone else. It's kind of like the turnstiles you go through going to the subway or something. You got to kind of push through one at a time. Also, this is a gate that requires self-denial and obedience. Matthew 16:24, Jesus says this. He says, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" I actually like the parallel verse in Luke even more. In Luke 9:23, it says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." This is an everyday discipline. There's no room in this gate for a focus on earthly goods. If you remember what Jesus said in the last chapter in Matthew 6, verses 19 and 20, he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." There's also no room through this gate for an unforgiving spirit. Again, chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, we looked at, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." There's also no room for our self-righteousness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." All of Jesus' instruction throughout the Sermon on the Mount gives us kind of our packing list. You know, when you go on an airplane, right, you know, certain rules and regulations. You know, you can't bring anything on a carry-on bag that's beyond like 3 ounces or something of liquid, right? There's certain things you can bring and certain things you have to put in different luggage or even leave behind. Jesus gives us our packing list of what will fit through this gate and what needs to be left behind. Well-known preacher of last century, Alexander McLaren, he used to say that the first two Beatitudes are the sideposts of this narrow gate. These two Beatitudes, if you remember, are the call to a poverty of spirit and mourning over our sin. And this truly is a narrow gate because no one loves and desires in and of themselves naturally a poverty of spirit. And no one naturally in and of ourselves desire to mourn over our sins, but we need to come to God holding nothing in our hands but our inadequacy and our consciousness of our sinful state. Like the song says, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling." But these two gates, this wide gate and this narrow gate, are only the starting point. The journey isn't over once we get through the gate. Because beyond these respective gates, there are two ways. We have two gates, and then beyond those gates, we have two different ways. The wide gate, according to Jesus, leads to the easy way. Again, it just sounds so appealing. Who doesn't want the easy way? Of course we want the easy way. Right? The way's easy because just like the wide gate, there's no restrictions on what anyone believes or how anyone acts. Any behavior that seems acceptable to you is just fine. It's all about what you want. Like the Burger King slogan, right? Have it your way. There's no need to change your lifestyle. If it feels good to you, do it. And many people love this path because it makes them feel like I have freedom. No one's telling me what to do. I'm my own man or my own woman, as the case may be. They're free from the shackles of imposed morality. They now consider themselves to be open-minded and tolerant, quote-unquote, tolerant of others who, like them, follow their own path and believe their own truth. C.S. Lewis commented on this idea in his autobiography. He said this. He said, "I was soon," in the famous words, "altering I believe to one does feel And oh, the relief of it. From the tyrannous noon of revelation, I passed into the cool evening twilight of higher thought, where there was nothing to be obeyed and nothing to be believed except what was either comforting or exciting. And this is where so many in our world are today. And this is, again, our default GPS direction is right there. Right there. I think you'll agree, we see this mindset rampant in our world today. Well, it's easy to see this issue in the world outside the church. We have to be careful of letting the influence of that way creep into the church as well. We need to examine ourselves, because so often we can have the mentality, whether we would ever say this out loud or not, we can live as if our mentality is, well, I'm okay with following Jesus as long as it's not too inconvenient. So the question is, as we examine ourselves, we have to ask ourselves, do I claim to be a Christian, and yet my life is ultimately indistinguishable from that of the world around me? As Martin Lloyd-Jones once said, living the way of the world and the life of the world in a different setting does not make us a Christian. My wife reminded me, as we were kind of discussing this passage, my wife reminded me of a message we heard while we were away in Indiana at our counseling conference. The pastor in the Sunday morning service mentioned, he talked about a person who went to the zoo, a young boy, I think, who went to the zoo. He said, and can you imagine if he went up to the zoo, and I don't remember exactly how the story went, but essentially went up to the alligator pit, and inside he saw ducks. Or he went up to the tiger cage, and inside the tiger cage was a monkey. Well, he would be very confused, because that's not what is advertised, right? And so when we are living like the world, but yet coming in and proclaiming to be a Christian, it's false advertising. We're proclaiming to be something that we are not, and we're giving Christ a bad name by taking on his name, but yet living like the world. As we come through the narrow gate, if we go through onto the hard way, which we'll talk about in a minute, we need to live our old self outside. We're told in Scripture to put off the old man, to put on the new. Our old self has no place in the kingdom. So that leads us to the hard way. And it being the hard way doesn't sound too good. No one wants to go the hard way. In the movies, right, you have an enemy combatant or enemy soldier or spy or somebody is captured, and they have them in this interrogation room, you know, they got the bright lights on them, and they're saying, you need to tell us the plans of whatever. And the guy says, I'm not going to talk. And you see the protagonist, you know, the interrogator says, all right, well, there's two ways we can do this, right? We can do this the easy way, or we can do it the hard way. And the way he says it, you know, this guy's not going to enjoy the hard way, right? No one wants the hard way. The picture here of this hard way is like a narrow and difficult path between two cliffs. It's a restrictive walk, a restrictive path that's not just restrictive as you go in, but the entire way. It isn't like you can squeeze through the gate and then the road opens up and it becomes this nice, wide, inclusive path. The way is difficult because it requires, as Jesus himself has said in this Sermon on the Mount, a righteousness that exceeds that of the religious people. And it's difficult because it requires a change in our behavior. We see this truth throughout the Sermon on the Mount, right? Because of this difficulty, people choose not to travel that path. Jesus himself said, count the cost. So people say, you know what? Not worth it to me. I'm going to go this way. They think this narrow path is just too confining. People who walk that path are too narrow-minded. Now, if you've read Pilgrim's Progress, or if you were here the night that we had the showing of the movie, you may remember a scene where Christian and his friend Hopeful, they go off the path. They're on the path that the evangelist told them to go on, but they go off this path, and they jump over the fence because the path on the other side looked much more appealing. It looked like a much easier walk. They were walking on this hard, kind of craggy, uneven path, and as they jumped over the fence, there was this lush, beautiful green field. And of course, if you remember the scene, they ended up being captured by giant despair and imprisoned in Doubting Castle. until they were freed by the key of faith. As Jesus describes the two gates and he describes the two ways, he also reminds us that there's two groups. There are two different groups. In verse 13, in talking about this wide gate and the easy way, Jesus says that those who enter by it are many. Those who enter by it are many. And we've seen many of the reasons why people choose the wide gate and the wide path. They choose it very much because the entrance is wide, so you can come as you are with no change necessary. The way is easy, and you can make your own rules. You can believe whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. There's no objective truth on this path. Another reason people take the wide gate and the easy way is that that's the direction people are traveling, as I mentioned, by default. It's the direction that we're hardwired to go because of our fallen nature. So consider back to that first Palm Sunday when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey and all the people are celebrating. They're throwing the palm branches in front of him as he's coming in. They're celebrating him as the coming king that they've been waiting for. And they're all excited. They're yelling Hosanna, praising God, for their king is finally come. But when it turned out that he wasn't the kind of king that they wanted, or the kind of king that they were expecting, they turned against him like that. They wanted Jesus. They wanted the king, but they wanted him on their own terms, because that's how people are when they go through the wide gate and continue on the easy path. It's my way or the highway. As long as you're tickling my ears, doing the things I want, we're good. Soon as you're making me uncomfortable, I'm out. The narrow gate is small, and it's easily overlooked. No one's going to find it unless they're actively seeking it. All others are going to travel that wide and easy path. It's the natural way to go, and you know what? You have plenty of company along for the ride, along for the journey. It's interesting, isn't it, that every generation, as we, you know, have kids and we see them growing up and, you know, they have this desire to be different, to kind of make their own statement in the world. They're going to be their own kind of people, and they all want to be different than their parents. And it seems that all of them that want to be different end up being different together. All the kids end up kind of, you know, because there's comfort in the crowd. They just want to be different than mom and dad, right? But there's comfort being a part of the crowd. And let's face it, the wide and easy path is what you see all over the movies, on TV. It's what's advertised on the billboards. It's what's taught in the schools. It encourages you to follow your feelings, and there seems to be no wrong answer, as long as you don't tell someone else that they can't have their answer, right? In contrast, Jesus says of the narrow gate and the hard way that those who find it are few. See, this is a pattern throughout Scripture, right? Only a relative few will be saved. We see this all throughout Scripture. Just a couple of examples. When God judged the world in Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9, when he judged the world with the universal flood, right, the story of Noah, we know that he saved 8 people in that ark, Noah and his family. 8 people were saved. All the other millions were lost. When God led the Israelites out of Egypt, the majority of the people rebelled against his leading, and so he allowed only 2, the 2 who were faithful, of that initial generation, he only allowed 2 to enter the promised land, while hundreds of thousands died in the wilderness. And since Jesus says that the narrow gate must be found, it implies strongly that there must be effort extended to find it. Jesus was asked in Luke 13:23, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" To which he responded, "Strive to enter through the narrow door." But even those who strive, according to what Jesus says here, will not necessarily be saved. He went on to say, "For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." So clearly, it's not just about effort, but about the right kind of effort.
Thanks, Pastor Day, for opening the Word to us today on Road to Calvary. What powerful words Jesus spoke on the Mount of Beatitudes. If you missed any part of today's teaching, or if you'd like to browse our audio library, we encourage you to visit cbcriverhead.org. Just click the Sermons tab. As you listen today, you may have had some questions that came to mind, or you may just want some clarity on what Pastor Dave covered in today's teaching. If so, please give us a call. We'll do our best to answer your questions, and we'd love to tell you more about the ministry of Road to Calvary. Our phone number is 631-727-4112. We always like to hear how we can be praying for our listeners, so please let us know how we can do that specifically for you when you call. Again, that's 631-727-4112. Before we end our time with you today, we'd like to ask you to commit to praying for the ministry of Road to Calvary. Consider praying for Pastor Dave as he prepares his messages every week and for the team who creates this program. Please also pray for other listeners. Some may be hearing about Jesus for the first time. We're so thankful for your prayers, and we're glad you tuned in today and look forward to next time. Until then, go ahead and read through the scriptures we studied today on your own, and Pastor Dave will have more to share in this Sermon on the Mount series next time on Road to Calvary.